We have a wonderful promise in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. You know, the first promise in the New Testament is, and you shall call his name, Matthew 1:21, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the second promise is, says you, Matthew 3:11, and he, that's Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We never see such a promise in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Jesus has promised to fill us with the Holy Spirit and also fire. And we can look at one more verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Here's Paul writing to Timothy, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." No, Apostle Paul and other elders prayed over Timothy. And Timothy received something that day. And Apostle Paul, he was telling Timothy, it says in another translation, stir into flame. You know, something happened when Timothy was filled with the Holy Spirit, when Apostle Paul and others laid their hands. And Paul was telling Timothy was a little shy, timid kind of a person, but Paul knew the potential Timothy had, and so he exhorted Timothy to stir into flame. You know, in our Indian culture, especially in the villages, you know, in the earlier days we never had stoves and gas stoves and electric stoves. So when the fire was lit up through firewood, you know, they had to fan into flame. Otherwise the fire will go down. All of us have experience of that. Even when you have the campfire, you just leave the fire alone and the fire goes down very quickly. Just look at the lives of many people. When they got saved, they had a fire in their hearts. When they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, they had a fire in their hearts. But you look at them after few years, they don't have the same fire. And that's why here the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy says, kindle afresh, stir up that flame. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14, again the Apostle Paul says, don't neglect the spiritual gift within you, which is bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. And in this connection, I want to turn to a wonderful verse in Leviticus chapter 6. It's repeated again and again. Leviticus chapter 6, 9, verse 9, 12 and 13. It says here, it speaks about the burnt offering. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering itself shall remain on the hearth, on the altar, all night until the morning. And the fire on the altar is to be kept burning on it. I want to highlight that verse. And verse 12 again. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the Lord wants to underline that verse, says, it shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay out the burnt offering on it, and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offering on it. And again, fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar, it is not to go out. That was God's will in the Old Testament. When they came to offer the burnt offering, the Lord said, you got to keep on adding wood to the fire. That was the job of the priest. And he says the fire cannot, should not go out. And it says the fire shall be burning. Fire shall be kept burning continually. And brothers and sisters, in the New Testament, it says here again in Proverbs 26 verse 20, we can look at that verse also. Not so familiar verse, Proverbs 26 verse 20. For lack of wood the fire goes out, and where there's no spirit, contention quiets down. You know, when there's no wood, the fire goes down. And and in the New Testament we can say, it's the church that has the presence of God, that has the fire burning. And it's God's will that the fire should never go down. You know, it's not God's will we should just come to the meeting in a passive way, just mark attendance, listen quietly, draw some money, and go. God's put a fire in our hearts, and that fire has to be burning. And you know how that fire can be kept burning? All of us must add to the fire. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? Just imagine if you had a campfire, and everybody comes and adds up a piece of wood, and the fire will be burning. And I want to ask you this morning, did you come to the church to add a little bit of fire? Or you came to the church to put water in the fire that's burning? Oh, may God give us grace, all of us, always to put something in the fire so that the fire can be kept burning, so that the fire can get hotter and brighter. And the fire is supposed to burn up everything of the flesh, everything that's unchristlike. And we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You know, in the Old Testament, whenever they were supposed to offer animals as a sacrifice, and whenever God was pleased with the sacrifice, on very, very few occasions, fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. For example, in Genesis chapter 15 verse 9, when Abraham offered the sacrifice, the fire came and consumed the sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 9 verse 24, first time the tabernacle was set up, oh, they offered the burnt offering and fire came from heaven and consumed it. And we see Elijah when he was offering in, we read in 1 Kings chapter 18, 19-38, when Elijah offered the sacrifice, fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. And we see also in 1 Chronicles 21 verse 26, when David offered the sacrifice, God answered the prayer by sending fire from heaven and consuming the sacrifice. And one more time we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 1 and 2, when Solomon offered the sacrifice, when the temple was built, oh, God was pleased with it and sent the fire from heaven. And now in the New Testament, we are not, David said even in the Old Testament, sacrifice and offering you have not desired. And in the New Testament, God desires that we offer to God our body as a living sacrifice. And that we don't do just on Sunday morning. That God wants us to do every day. And that's how in the New Covenant, life is different than the Old Covenant. It is not Sunday morning worship time. No, it is presenting a body as a living sacrifice to God every day. And what is the proof that God is happy over your life? You know, we have so many lusts in our flesh, and the Holy Spirit fights against the flesh, and we offer ourselves, offer our body as a living sacrifice. You know, so much of sin gets burnt up, and we are supposed to offer daily to God. Every day there's something to be burnt up, brothers and sisters. And that's what makes life interesting. not just once a morning. Many people say, oh brothers, main thing is the worship. I'm really surprised, many places I see, oh, there's so much of music and worship, that's good, I'm not against them. But it is not just little bit of worship on Sunday morning. True worship is, I offer my body as a living sacrifice so that I don't fulfill my lusts. And that's not very interesting for many people. The main thing is, brother, lively worship, lively music, they say. And during the week they go and fulfill their lusts. And that's how Satan has deceived the majority of God's people. Where do you hear people who say, brothers and sisters, you got to present your body as a living sacrifice and you got to do it daily. And the fire from heaven through the Holy Spirit should consume that sacrifice. That means all that lusting in eyes will be burnt up. That's God's intention. You know, we have so many lusts in our flesh, so many thoughts that come through our heart and mind, so many appetites we have, carnal appetites, so much of pride and rebellion is there in this flesh, impatience and anger, love of money, worldliness, every day, Lord, like Isaac lay down on the altar, oh, the Lord says, can you offer yourself as a living sacrifice? Just think, so much of sin comes through the tongue. And what is the proof that you've given your tongue as a sacrifice? There'll be so much of purity in your speech. Don't you see the need, brothers and sisters, to offer your tongue as a living sacrifice? Can you say, Lord, burn up all the unwanted words and speech? That's not gracious. That's not edifying. And I want to tell you, just think, if you had obeyed one verse in the scripture, how much change would have come into our lives. A year, see, Lord, I don't want to listen to gossip. And, you know, Jesus, God has not planned our life so difficult. One day at a time. Every day something has to be burnt. And come back and again, Lord, I offer myself. Burn me up, Lord. All of the flesh, all of carnality, all of unchristlikeness. Burn me up, Lord. And I want to say the Holy Spirit is very eager to burn up much of sin. And that's why He has baptized us in the Holy Spirit and fire. And the Lord saying, kindle afresh that fire. You know, I feel so sad when I see brothers who are like a refrigerator. You know, so cold. That's not God's will in the church. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I praise the Lord for speaking in tongues. I don't despise it. I do speak in tongues, and I believe it's very edifying. But that is not the main thing. The whole purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to burn up every trace of sin, every trace of disobedience, every bit of pride and impatience and anger and so many lusts. And the Lord is very, very eager for that. You see, for example, Romans chapter 8. Verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. Mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God and does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. Those on the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. Can we say this morning, I'm not in the flesh, I'm in the Spirit? And verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you know a person is on fire? Not just because it's emotional, as I said, not just because he speaks in tongues and is excited. The Holy Spirit puts a fire in his heart to put to death everything of the flesh. And brothers and sisters, if you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, I want to say that fire will be burning every day, and may God impress on our hearts. Let the fire be burning always on the altar. sacrificing a body every day on the altar. I want to tell you, every day is something to be burnt up. And that's why we need to offer ourselves every day to the Lord. And that's why I can easily make out many people who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can see that fire is lacking. Yeah, I'm not a prophet, but I can sense, especially some of the educated people. I'm not against education, but you know, there's a supernatural touch of the Holy Spirit that helps us to fight the flesh, put it dead, everything of the flesh, death every day to everything that is contrary to God's word, everything that is unchristlike, everything of the flesh, so that the Holy Spirit has more and more power, influence over our lives. You know, in Revelation 1:14, it speaks about the eyes of fire. I like that verse. I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, you young people, you offer your eyes as a living sacrifice to God. After some time, God will give you eyes of fire. All that lusting will be burnt up and consumed. And you will have eyes of purity, not in heaven, here on earth. And it's got nothing to do with the age. You can be 25 and still come to have a life of victory over sin if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. And same thing with the tongue. You know, on the day of Pentecost, we heard that tongues of fire came on them. And that's why when Peter spoke, you know, there was so much of anointing and grace when Stephen spoke. Stephen was a young brother. You know how Stephen spoke? You stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You think that's the way a person anointed speaks? That's how Stephen spoke, led by the Spirit. I'm not saying we should go around speaking like that. That's not the point. The point is, he was really anointed. And I believe the more we give our tongue to the Lord as a sacrifice, our words will be prophetic, it will be anointed. And after some time, shall I tell you the good news? It should become more and more natural for us to live like that. How wonderful, brothers and sisters. Oh, I want that life. I've been excited by this life. I say, Lord, that's what I'm not interested in. Leadership and, you know, I say, Lord, I want everything of the flesh to be burnt up and consumed. I want the fire of the Spirit in my heart. And it says in Romans chapter 12, one more verse. It's a good verse for all of us. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know what's God's will for the church? Everybody in the church, nobody exempted. What a wonderful calling, brothers and sisters. Nobody's permitted to be lagging behind, to be lazy, to be lukewarm, to be mediocre. It says God's will for us is to be fervent in spirit. Is that your longing? That's what the Holy Spirit has come to do for us. How do you know a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit? There'll be a fervency to do God's will, to obey the word of God, to put to death the deeds of the body, to fight the flesh. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. This word we normally don't understand. Colossians chapter 3, 5, it says here, in the James version it says, mortify, but here it says, NASB, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So, let the fire be burning always on the altar of sacrifice. That's presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And be fervent in spirit. And in addition to this, one more exhortation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It says here, don't quench the spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is seeking to put a fire in your heart. You don't pour water over that. It's very easy to remember. Don't quench the spirit. Shall I tell you how we quench the spirit? It is written here just a few words before. Verse 16 says, rejoice always. When you don't rejoice always, you are quenching the spirit. It says, pray without ceasing. When you don't remain in a spirit of prayer, we are quenching the spirit. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for him, Christ Jesus. When we don't remain thankful, we are quenching the spirit. And then it says, verse 20, don't despise prophetic utterance. When we despise prophetic word, we quench the spirit. And verse 21, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. When you don't hold fast to that which is good, you're quenching the spirit. Abstain from every form of evil. When we don't abstain from every form of evil, you're quenching the spirit. I want to ask you this morning, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, he wants to baptize in the Holy Spirit fire. Are you allowing the Lord to put more fire in your heart, or you're quenching the spirit? You know, another way how we can quench the spirit? By tolerating various sins in our life, by having worldly desires, by having worldly friends, worldly habits. Brothers and sisters, ask yourself this morning, some of you have been here in the church long, why is it you don't have a fire in your heart? At least, I hope you will acknowledge, Lord, I have not been hanging around with those who got fire. That's one way you can keep the fire going. Hang around with the brothers and sisters who got fire. Timothy hanged around with Apostle Paul. Therefore he had that fire. And I see so many young people, they want to hang around the Alpha altar because they say, oh brother, they are my friends. No one there. You lose the fire. I don't want to hang around anyone who's cold and lukewarm. I want to hang around with those who got a fire, who can fire me on. I want the fire to increase, not decrease. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, there's a lovely verse here, 30. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. That's a lovely verse. In other words, like we heard, the Holy Spirit is very gentle. You know, sometimes the way we speak, verse 29 it says here, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And then in that context he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, husbands and wives, sometimes they can use strong, harsh, hurting words, and they hurt one another. And many times it is planned, not accidentally. That's not good. You know, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you seal for the day of redemption. And you know, in Acts 6:51, Stephen said, you always resist the Holy Spirit. 6:51. Because they were unbelievers. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, and are always resisting the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you this morning, are you resisting the Holy Spirit? Or you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit? Can you say, brother, I'm cooperating with the Holy Spirit every day. Praise the Lord. We want more such brothers and sisters in the church who can say, the Lord is working in me to do His will and good pleasure. I want the Lord to work in me more. And I want to cooperate with Him. I don't want to be stiff-necked. Oh, you know, it says about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 10. You know how Jesus lived on earth? I want to say Jesus was not cold and lukewarm and half-hearted. No, he had a fire in his heart. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In all burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I say, see, this is how Jesus lived on earth. Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book is written of me to do your will, O God. That's the way Jesus lived on earth. Young brothers and sisters, I hope you live like that. Offer yourself every day, Lord, thank you for this new day you've given me. I don't want to do my own will. I don't want to fulfill my lusts. Lord, I want to be a sacrifice. Every part of my body. I hope the Lord will find amongst us some like that. That is from Monday to Saturday. I'm not talking about Sunday morning worship meeting. I hope the Lord will find amongst us who got the fire in their hearts. And I hope you will say this morning, Lord, kindle, Lord, that fire in my heart. Stir into flame. Lord, I don't want to grow cold. And ask yourself, brothers and sisters, this morning, at least since the time you came to the church, I'm not talking about the time you were outside in Babylon, can you say, at least after I came to the church and I heard this wonderful truth, I sought to be a living sacrifice. I sought to have the fire of the Holy Spirit. And that is God's will. A church that is set on fire and that can set others on fire. And you know, if you don't have the fire out in the world, you can set the others on fire. And imagine if we had many brothers and sisters who got the fire of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, so that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit can help them kindle that fire. I want to encourage you this morning, hang around all those who got the fire of the Spirit in their hearts. Hang around the wholehearted. Hang around those who can set you on fire. And stay away from the half-hearted and the cold, lukewarm, mediocre brothers like refrigerator. Leave them alone. We can't shame them, but I leave them alone. Let's keep the fire going, brothers and sisters. The Lord wants to set the fire burning. Oh, may the church be a wonderful church where the fire is always burning. I want to say, God will be delighted in such a church. And not only that, Paul told Timothy, kindle afresh the gift of God. Not only the fire of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Lord's given all of us many gifts. Some of us, we're not using the gifts God's given us. And you know, if you don't use a gift, you lose that gift. Supposing, I'll tell you, supposing your mother tongue is Hindi, and you go to settle, you go and settle in Australia, and you don't speak that language at all for 50 years, I want to tell you, you will forget the language completely. That's just a poor example, but you know, God has given all of us many, many gifts. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue after love, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And if you don't use what you have, you'll lose what you have. And nobody can say, brother, God has not given me any gift. And if so, please come and meet me after the meeting, brothers and sisters. I mean what I say. If you feel that you don't have any gifts, that is not true, first of all. All of us can speak, can make a phone call, can encourage, can give, and many other gifts God's given us. All of us can ask the Lord for the gift of prophecy. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, covet, it says, to prophesy. Maybe the Lord gave you a little bit of the gift, but you didn't fan into flame. Maybe the Lord gave you the gift of tongues and today you stopped using it and that's gone from your life. Maybe the Lord gave you a gift of prophecy to challenge others and because you didn't use it, that's gone away from your life. And I want to say this morning, I'm not here to discourage anybody. Stir into flame that little bit of fire God put into your heart, that gift God put into your heart. You know, many of us can write an email and encourage others. It doesn't take much time to write an email. It doesn't take much time to make a call. It doesn't take much time to give what you can. And say, Lord, kindle me afresh this morning, Lord. And I want to get rid of all my laziness. And Lord, I want the fire of God in my heart. I want the fire to be burning. I want to contribute to the fire in the church. Be a brother and sister who can contribute to the fire. Let the fire be burning at the altar always. Oh, may the Lord make the church such a wonderful church where there's always fire burning. In Isaiah chapter 31 verse 9 says, there's a fire in Zion. Hebrews 12:29 says, God is a consuming fire. And Jesus, Luke 12:49, Jesus said, I come to cast fire on the earth. And oh, may the Lord help us to be such a church, in the church where there's a fire of purity, there's a fire of love, where there's a fire of lowliness burning. And all those who come here so that they can get warmed and are cleansed from worldliness and unchristlikeness, and so that we can say, till the Lord comes. What a wonderful brother and sister you can be if you can just bring one firewood and put it there so that the fire can burn more. And you also catch that fire and spread that fire. Oh, may the Lord make us like that. And that's the challenge that's come home to my heart. To kindle afresh the gift of God. Stir into flame. Don't be a backslidden brother. Lukewarm, cold. Repent. And say, Lord, the fire you put in my heart, I want it again. Baptize me afresh again. I want to repent. Seek the Lord. And the Lord will baptize you. I want to say that this morning. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He wants to make your life glorious. He wants to make you a... He says, I'll close with this verse, Hebrews 1:7. It's a lovely verse. I hope my reference is right. Hebrews 1. Yeah, Hebrews 1:7. He speaks about the servants of God. Hebrews 1:7. And this on of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. You and I, brothers and sisters, are the ministers of God. We are to be a flame of fire. Brothers and sisters, not just brothers. It's not a question of age, young and old. All of us, a flame of fire. May the Lord make this church to be like that. That we, till our death, to be on fire. Till the Lord comes, to be on fire, and maybe keep the fire burning all the time.
Praise God for the words that we get to hear, the words that burn in our heart. Brothers and sisters, let's take these words to heart. Really, these are words of salvation. I was just thinking of that verse that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And you know, we must pay closer to heed to what we have heard. I was just that verse that Brother Newton shared, where he says, let me remind you to kindle afresh the gift. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And sisters, I mean, if somebody just uses pure logic, he may feel like, you know, all these things have been said before, right? But brothers and sisters, these are the words of life. We must hear them. We must hear them again and again. It's like the fire. The fire needs to be flamed again and again. We must add fuel to the fire again and again. And that fire, as it burns, it consumes all the filth inside of us. And it gives meaning to our life. Our life becomes beautiful. Remind you to kindle afresh the gift. I was just thinking, the gift of God. So God so loved the world that He gave His Son. See, every gift, yeah, God gives me a gift. Or somebody gives you a gift. Okay, let's just understand. Okay, let's say you got a gift. It's a piano. You got a piano as a gift. Now, I must give myself to the gift also. Otherwise, the gift is meaningless. The gift is given to me, but if I don't give myself to the gift is meaningless. If I truly say, okay, praise God, you've given me, let's say I'm a young boy and you've given me a piano, let me learn to play this piano, let me make music, let me practice day in and day out. That's what this gift means. That's why it's given to me. Yeah, God so loved the world that He gave His begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Have I given myself to that gift of God that God gave to me? That is how I can glorify Him, receive that gift. We have heard this so many times, brothers and sisters, but we have to kindle afresh. Remember the love that He has for us. You know how it is as husbands and wives. Yeah, we've told each other many times we love each other, but it's always good to say it again. You kindle afresh the fire. Jesus said, in the last days, people's love will grow cold. We can ask ourselves if our love is growing cold. We need to kindle afresh that fire. Remember God's love for me. Remember, yeah, I love because He loved me first. And kindle that fire afresh. Oh, yeah, I was just thinking about this, you know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Present your bodies as a holy and living sacrifice. And he says, therefore, right? So we know whenever he says therefore, we should look what it's there for. The whole of chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, is talking about God's great mercy upon us. That, you know, of all the people, He chose us. He originally chose the Jews, but, you know, He had mercy on us. And He picked us out. And therefore, because of the great mercies of God, give yourselves up as a living sacrifice. And this is our reasonable, you know, sacrifice of worship. Brothers and sisters, we think about that. Think about His great love that He chose us. He called us for a purpose. And therefore, I must give myself to this fire of God to say, Lord, I really, really want to put myself on the altar. I want to take it seriously. I want to remind myself of your love. Because of your great mercies. His mercies are new every morning, which means day by day I should put myself on the altar and say, yes, Lord. Day by day, you want to give me the Holy Spirit. You saved me that you might fill me, that you might use me for your glory, for your kingdom. It's a good ministry, brothers and sisters, to remind, as he says, I want to remind you to kindle afresh. Now, Peter says, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Although you already know them, you're established in the truth, but I must remind you again and again. And it's good for us, brothers and sisters. I know as husbands and wives, I know that more than others maybe, I need to be reminded of so many things. Husbands and wives, every day you'll remind each other of, you know, so many things. Do this, did you do that? Don't neglect, do not neglect to do this. Do not forget. Can we not also, that's good, that's very good, but can we not also remind each other that of God's calling, of God's plan, of God's love for us, of how He brought us together, of His purpose and, you know, and not just in words, but to say that, yeah, this is the God. And let's stir each other up. Let's kindle that fire. I mean, the fire in your marriage will also, I really believe, will come a fire, a light once again when we remember that love that God has for us. And stir each other up in that calling. May God help us. Amen.